Episode 54 of Pod Racers, a Star Wars podcast, and we've got some fun stuff for you this week. My name's Damon Pratt. We've got Matt Keogh. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Damon. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Plus 30.
Plus 30?
October the 6th, plus 30 in southern Manitoba.
Wow, that's wild.
And then tomorrow's supposed to be 27 and then cooling down a little bit. And rain all weekend long, but I'll take this. Wow. Yeah, I'll take this any day of the week at this stage.
But, wow, that's crazy.
Thanksgiving's right around the corner, which is awesome.
Well, that's Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yes, we should mention that because if I'm not mistaken, we do have some American followers, which is pretty cool. And you guys celebrate your Thanksgiving at the end of November, so. Happy Thanksgiving to Canada. Lots of interesting stuff going on in our country. One of those things, more lockdowns. But we're not here to do that. We're actually not even here to shit on the sequel trilogy today, which is
guys,
which is kind of
exciting. Doesn't mean we won't. No. Doesn't mean we won't.
Oh, okay. So I'm taking a list. I'm taking a look at our listener geographic location. 73% of people who listen to this podcast are from the U.S.
Okay.
Somehow this Canadian podcast is American. So interesting. Couple from a couple percentage points from Mexico and Germany, which is kind of cool. But yeah, there you go. We're going to have a fun one today. We've got, of course, our review of episodes. What is it? 10 and 11.
10 and 11. Yeah.
10 and 11 from Bad Batch. A couple of really good episodes, and we're now getting into more political stuff, not the politics of the Republic per se as the Senate is concerned, but more I guess planetary
politics of like taking over.
Yeah, really. Like now that the Galactic Empire is here, they just walk in and do what they want.
Yeah,
which is cool. So we're gonna do that. We've got our top five, which is things we love about the extended universe or things that we would like to see throughout the like alternate timelines or stuff like that, which I'm
I don't have a huge extended universe.
That's okay. I'm excited to hear what you have to
foundation.
Say.
Yeah. So I went with things I'd like to see, like a la Visions type show.
Yeah. And speaking of that, before we get into news, I watched a few more episodes of Vision. We're going to, are we going to review Visions? You think it makes sense?
Okay. I think we should, yeah.
Then we'll do that coming up once we're done with Bad Batch. But before that, let's get into news to start us off here. I won't get into the Vision stuff. We'll do that when we review. But I watched a couple more episodes, and there was one in there that I really, really liked. But we'll get to that when we review it. Some news, not a whole lot to report on as we kind of hit all of the big stuff that had, I guess, arrived a couple weeks ago. But Book of Boba Fett, they've kind of dropped when it's going to start streaming on Disney Plus, December 29th, a little later than you'd like.
Yeah, Mandalorian was almost around
October.
Yeah, was the end of October, beginning of November?
Either that or the even first the beginning year, of October.
The first season of Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It was like the only show that was there on the first Friday, right?
Really? Yes.
Was that in November or December or October?
I'm pretty sure it was October.
Okay, I can't remember.
So Disney, like, December 29th is a little, I don't know. I think they're missing the boat on not streaming November 12th, which is Disney Plus Day.
Like, that's Disney Plus Day?
Yeah, they should be throwing that down right there. But they're not. So whatever. And the other piece of news that I have, this is interesting. Gina Carano, and no, we're not going to be shooting on Gina Carano, but apparently there are rumors that she will return to The Mandalorian for season 4, which is interesting because, you know, they cut ties with Disney and Gina because of, I guess, her views on what was going on within her political pandemic views.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess this is all kind of from Mike Zero. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
But okay. Usually where there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire.
Yeah.
And then
I've heard other sources speak to like that effect as well. Actually. Yeah.
And she actually, she teased a little bit of a return in July to the Mandalorian. So there's that too. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe she just said, okay, I'll just shut my mouth and work. And
Well, what I heard, my sources are also all from the internet. I don't know any firsthand either. So like,
this is all Facebook talk.
Yeah, all Facebook talk or, you know, Reddit talk or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, Favreau and Carano are actually friends, right? Mm-hmm. And so he wrote that character for Carano, like personally, right? So
yes, because he's a big MMA guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he loves that stuff.
I didn't realize that Favreau was.
Well, I remember on Friends, there was an episode, there's a couple episodes where Favreau is on Friends and he's dating Monica, and he's like rich, but he gets into MMA and he sucks at it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I never watched that show, really. I watched a couple episodes. I'm not a Friends fan though.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea. I was a Seinfeld fan.
Oh, Seinfeld was huge too. Friends, yeah. I liked everybody but Rachel or Jennifer Aniston on the show.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of her, but we're getting off topic here.
Yeah.
So yeah, Gina Carano, it makes sense. I mean, if they just, hey, Gina, just keep it. Like, have your views, have whatever you want. Nobody can tell you you can't have certain views. But when you're towing company line, and yes, you have to do that sometimes, just film your stuff and move on.
Yeah, I don't know if that's fair, though. Like, a company shouldn't have any say on what you do outside of work, you know?
I do agree with that, but there is images that a company would want to uphold, right? And so if one of their images is one of inclusion, and this is not a shot at Gina Carano or anything like that. I'm just using it as a reference point. And a person that works for said company is kind of being divisive, I mean, it's well within the rights of the company to do, like, and again, they didn't fire her. That is all internet led. They just didn't re-sign her, which is totally different, but it got blown so far out of proportion. But I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying when a company shouldn't be able to dictate what somebody does on their own time, but it's the internet age and. Yeah. Image is everything, just, right?
Yeah, it's just death of the corporate overlords. Yeah. You know,
the evil empire.
Yeah. You want to be included. You want to be part of this inclusion. You had to shut up and toe the line. That's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all I've got for news. You got anything that you want to add?
No, I didn't really see anything. No.
Let's just jump right into top 5 things that we love/ want to see in the extended universe. I can start us off this week.
Okay.
This is kind of twofold because Thrawn, who came into Star Wars as extended universe and was actually brought into canon. And it was exciting when they brought him into canon, when Rebels was announced. And Rebels, I believe it was... Is it I can't remember. Season 3? End of season 2?
I think it's season 3.
Yeah, like I absolutely geeked out for Thrawn being a part of it. And I can't wait to see live action Thrawn. I want to see more Thrawn. Please let Thrawn be a part of the Luke years in canon, all that kind of stuff. Let's go. He's a great villain, but he's also just a great character too.
Yeah, he is.
Because he's not straight up villain.
No.
Like, he's not Palpatine villain.
No.
Which makes him sympathetic to a degree. But yeah, I love that they brought him into canon, but I also loved a lot of the stuff that you saw from him within the extended universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I guess maybe I'll change a couple then, since I did have a limited extended...
And that's okay.
Extended universe, and I really love Shadows of the Empire.
Yes.
You know, that game, I would actually love to see them bring that story somehow in.
Like to make it canon.
Yeah, or even just, you know, make it canon like in a video game. You
remaster
know, like,
the remaster the game.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, I just really enjoyed that game. I thought it would be pretty awesome because it gives a really interesting take. You've got a really cool, you know, villain at the end, like whatever, Zizor.
Yeah.
You know, they could probably tag team with a bunch of writers and figure out how to work that into some kind of sequel trilogy.
Is he not stuff? And, is he not canon?
I don't know.
Like Black Sun is canon.
Yeah, but I don't know if Prince Zizor is.
I feel like we may have seen him, or at the very least his people within Clone Wars.
We've seen his people, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, oh, and it's awesome. I agree. Like, bring him into canon, and let's go with that, because that's awesome stuff too. That's a good one. That game was amazing. And I remember when it first came out, you read the hype on it, and I was like, there's no Jedi stuff. This is like bounty hunter / smuggler type stuff. Okay. And then you play it and you're like, oh, okay, I am hooked on this game. It was so good. I can't remember what system that was for. Was it?
It was the N64.
It was N64.
Yeah. I just love the alternate view, like when you're in the Hoth.
Yeah.
And you know, like everything else that's going on in the base, right? And
yeah.
You're running through at a different part and, you know, you can see different things. Like, yeah. I just think it's a great story, and I'd love to see that brought into canon.
That's good. For my next one, the Old Republic storyline of Zane Carrick, Marn Hieroglyph, Camper, and Jarial. This story is awesome. If you ever get the chance to read it, Matt, if you haven't, you need to. So here's the kind of the rundown. Zane Carrick was a Padawan who was a terrible Jedi, not because he didn't want to be a good Jedi, he just wasn't good.
Okay. Like,
as a Jedi, he was a good human being, but a bad Jedi. And he wasn't expected to pass the Padawan trials, but was invited to the ceremony anyway, only to show up late to find his fellow Padawans murdered by their Jedi masters. Yeah. That's the start of the story. I don't want to. And then they framed Zane for the murders of the Padawans. So he went on the run. And as he goes, you find, you know how like some Jedi have really interesting Jedi traits, like who is it that has battle?
Well, that's can speak to animals.
Yeah, like battle, right? Meditation is one of them. It was Revan's Bastila Shan, who was a young Jedi, but she had battle meditation, which just turns the tide of a battle. This, like Zane, misfortune turned to his advantage. And it was some sort of, I don't know, confusion within the Force or something like that. So if something weird was going on, he was usually going to benefit, which was kind of interesting. So it's a really good story. You get a little bit of the Mandalorian wars with the Jedi. You get a little bit of a crossover with Revan. it's just awesome. I love it. Anybody that hasn't read those comics, please do. It is Knights of the Old, I think it's called Knights of the Old Republic. I'm going to double check that just to make sure, because it's, yeah, Star Wars Legends, the Old Republic, and it's just really good.
Okay.
Check it out.
All right. Well, if I have to pick something else, I don't really know too much of the expanded universe. So like,
that's okay. Bring up the things that you want to see.
Leia and Han having two kids, right?
Yes. Ben, Anakin, I believe, was one of them.
No, they had who was it?
Yeah, now I'm forgetting.
Was it Ben and the other one?
I don't think it was
Ben. They had a boy and a girl. And I remember, so one of them turned to the dark side, and that was kind of more like the sequel area or a trilogy.
Yes.
Was originally going to be something like that.
Han, they had three kids. Anakin was one of them. Jason and Jaina. And I believe Jason turns to the dark side.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Luke and Mara have a son who is Ben.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I think Jason, I think he becomes like Darth Krayt or something along that lines. Mm-hmm. That might be further along in the story, though. Like, that might be their kids kind of thing.
Okay.
I'm going to double check that just to be certain, because Jason, I'm pretty sure Jason. Yeah. No, he's Darth Cadus.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Darth, if I'm not mistaken, Darth Krayt is, he might be a Skywalker. Okay. Oh, like no, Darth Krayt
Dragon.
Darth Krayt. No, I'm wrong. Darth Krayt was Asherad Het. He was a Jedi Master in the Galactic Republic. So never mind, I'm making a mistake. So it was Cadus. But he turns to the dark side after the death of Sidious. And they were Tusken Raiders. He's actually a Tusken Raider.
Okay, cool.
Which is pretty cool. But yeah, like to see more storylines with Solo kids and everything, and in this not Ben Solo,
mm-hmm.
Kylo Ren, but like Jason and Jaina and Anakin, and to see where they go. That's, I like that too. That's great.
I think that would have been cool. And who knows? Maybe they
go that route. Especially if they reset it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I
hope they don't, because I really do like Adam Driver.
I do too, but he can still be Ben Solo.
Yeah. Or or turn him to Ben Skywalker.
Yeah.
And see where that goes. That would kind of be a neat little turn.
Yeah. It'd be cool if he would agree to come back or something. And
he's awesome.
He is good.
Up next, and these you'll know, Jedi Knight 2 and Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, the video games.
Mm-hmm.
Those games were awesome. That is with Kyle Katarn in the main role for Jedi Knight 2. That storyline, those are great. Just those video games that they put out, The Force Unleashed,
mm-hmm.
which was, I liked the games. They were fun to play, but they were too outrageous.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever played Force Unleashed?
No, but I have heard Starkiller is just like ridiculous.
It's stupid how powerful he is. Like he physically brings down a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Like as it's trying to fly away.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Like that's the response. It's silly, but he can't beat Vader or the Emperor.
Hmm.
He's literally hauling, like in the game, you haul down a Star Destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
And like
jumping to hyperspace kind of thing.
It's trying to take off, but you just haul it down to the ground. And as you're doing that, right, you're bringing it closer and closer. You have to stop and you're fighting TIE fighters and you're like crunching them and throwing them to the ground like they're paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nonsense.
like the Emperor in episode 9.
Yeah, just all the, but he's the Emperor. Like, that's Palpatine. Yeah. That's years. This guy is like a kid. Vader takes him, drains him. he's hauling Star Destroyers to the ground. It's silly. But yeah, those Jedi Knight 2 games and the Jedi Academy games are both really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess the last thing that I know from the expanded universe that I would like to see would be Mara Jade in there.
Yes.
You know, I would love to see Luke
in love. Meet
somebody that makes him question that, you know, attachments thing a little more strongly.
I think that'd be
pretty cool.
I don't even know if he needs to like think about it, right? Like, I think one of the things you learn from Anakin in the prequel trilogy, when he's being asked all these questions by Padme, is one of the things like, can you even have relationships? He says, or no, she says, can you even fall in love? And he says, actually, the Jedi would encourage love.
Well, that's what he says from a certain point of view.
But I don't think he's wrong at all. And how unfair is it for certain Jedi masters to be able to ply their trade, so to speak, because of their species, but others can't? Like, it's so dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I suppose to be a Jedi, you do have to love the world because you want to protect it and save it, right? So you gotta love it. And from a certain point of view, yeah, you could say that.
You gotta really love it.
But you know, and I could see somehow if you had like a relationship with somebody that wasn't, that you were at peace if they were just suddenly gone the next day, I think that would still be okay in the eyes of the Jedi.
Well, and
like, if, because you're not attached to it, right? So it like, and but, it's like you appreciate the life while it's there and you can enjoy it. And then, you know, it's gone and you rejoice because you become one with the living force or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you could argue, yeah, you could have a relationship so long as you are certain that, you know, when the significant other is gone, whether it's through death or a breakup or whatever, that you would have like no negative feelings and attachments whatsoever.
Here's the thing about that. Let's blow this right out of the water. Padawans and masters, how do you not grow attachment?
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of hypocrisies in the Jedi Order, right? And
like, I think you're creating attachment by having a master take a Padawan.
Yeah,
especially from how young they are.
Yeah, and in the trilogies that we've watched, it's all during
war,
times of war.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, yeah, it's how could you not, right? This person is not just training you, but they're like saving your life all the time, right? Yeah. You need them. Like, if your master died on you in the middle of a war, like, that would be terrifying. How could you really not want to dip into some dark side powers? Like, even if it's by accident, because you're just so upset or panicked because, you know, you didn't really get that attachment lesson yet because you're still a Padawan.
Well, I mean, think of it this way, too. You look at Ahsoka and Rex, they have an attachment, and that's it's not out of love. It's not out of relationship. It's friendship. Mm-hmm. You grow attachment with friendship. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would love to see, getting back to the original point, Luke with Mara Jade. I don't even know if he questions it at that point, right? Like, he just looks at it and he goes, this is natural.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you have two ways you can go here. You can obviously dip into the dark side if something bad were to happen, anything like that. But if you've got, like, just say, for example, you have Luke and he watches Mara Jade get cut down in front of him, or you have Luke and he watches Han Solo get cut down in front of him. Like, it's the same emotions, maybe a little stronger with the person that you have created a relationship with lovingly. in that regards, but it's still the same emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So bring on Mary Jade or Mary Jade.
Mary Jade. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring on Mary Jade and let's go. Let's have that. I agree. My next one, Darth Plagueis. We know he is canon because he's mentioned, but the book isn't canon.
Okay.
And if you've read the book, it is awesome and leads right into when Palpatine becomes the Chancellor.
Okay. Like right into the end of the Phantom Menace
kind of thing? Yeah. Like the end of Phantom Menace, because he becomes Chancellor at the end there. Like that whole book is awesome. And it dives into Darth Plagueis just a little bit more. You get a lot of Palpatine in it too, some backstory on that. But as of right now, all of that is just tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise. Like we don't know if what's all true or not.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see that become something more or expand on it as far as the extended universe goes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see the backstory for Plagueis, how he became the master. Who his master was, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and like how they managed to get powerful while hiding and all that stuff. That would
Yes, the behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you got? If you have anything else,
I don't have any more that I would bring like from extended universe into canon. But it, like if I saw some like visions or like what if stories, I guess. One that I would like to see is Yoda becoming the Emperor. Like if let's say Yoda and Palpatine's roles were swapped, right?
Really? And
Palpatine became, like the head of the Jedi Council, pretty much. And Yoda, embraced the dark side and went that route and became, you know, Plagueis's apprentice or something like that.
Oh.
I think that'd be pretty cool. And
I think you are spot on when you say the what if storylines. We get them with Marvel and they've been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see some what if Star Wars storylines. What if the Jedi got to Palpatine before Plagueis?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Palpatine is, I think he's in his teens when Plagueis kind of discovers him.
Okay.
So he's used his raw talent to kind of work his way up as far as political aspirations go within Naboo. Mm-hmm. But it'd be cool. I think it'd be really cool to see what if the Jedi got a hold of him and what happens. Maybe something happens with the Jedi that Yoda becomes one of the, instead of Dooku leaving the Jedi Order, it's Yoda leaving the Jedi Order.
Mm-hmm.
800 years plus of experience as a Jedi master, and he becomes a Sith Lord. Like, goodness.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
He'd have a very short time to catch up on all the Sith stuff. Unless he's dipping into the forbidden areas of the Jedi Temple.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be awesome.
That's a cool one. My last one, I think this one's pretty obvious. Revan. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's canon to an extent. I want more Revan. He's my favorite character outside of Obi-Wan Kenobi. I want him straight canon, but I also want more story from him, because as of right now, you get two books, the Revan book, which is straight up Revan. Mm-hmm. And then you get I guess that Revan book is the story that you see from, like after the video game storyline. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think it's borderline set 300 years into the future or something, because Revan is kept alive by this emperor.
Okay.
And is almost kind of siphoning, but you get a little bit of storyline in the Knights of the Old Republic game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I want to see more of that. Revan's just a really awesome character.
Okay.
I do have a couple of honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, I don't. I would just have one more like expanded universe one, right?
Sure.
And I would just like to see what would happen if Anakin doesn't fall to the dark side.
Oh, of course.
Right. You know, just he resists Palpatine. You know, he Mace Windu listens to him. and they arrest the Chancellor, and you know, bingo bongo, there we go.
Basically, that ending is just roll credits. It's done. We're done with Star Wars.
Yeah, but you know, just I don't know. Yeah, I think
it does. Anakin cool. Sacrifice himself.
Padme gives birth to Luke and Leia, and they get raised
as Jedi know,
in a family.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to see because, like, in the old Republic storylines with Revan, after the events of the game, him and Bastila are still part of the Jedi Order.
Yeah,
but they're kind of away from the Jedi Order because they end up having kids and they end up having a relationship, which of course is frowned upon by the Jedi. But they're just like, no, our love is what kept us on the light side of the Force.
Yeah.
So they kind of skirt the Jedi Order by that. But absolutely. Like,
yeah, maybe Anakin leaves the Jedi Order too, right? Like he's got a wife and kids now, right? And that's kind of forbidden. And he's like, no, screw you guys. I'm going to go raise my family.
I'm going to free follow from my
your
own path.
Influence. You know, I don't like what you guys have done. And you guys are a bunch of hypocrites, and basically you can all go kick rocks. See you later.
I'm going to follow my light side.
The first family with me, and we're going to go peace out and do whatever.
A couple of honorable mentions on my part. The Bane trilogy. Obviously, we know that Bane is the creator of the Rule of Two. They mention that in canon. But the books are just fantastic, and you get to know Bane a lot more. I'd like to see that be something that maybe becomes canon. Or they expand on that. And then the Dawn of the Jedi stories, which are really awesome because I love all that historic. These are set like 25,000 years before the Skywalker saga. Yeah. And so like you learn about the Ashla and the Bogan. Those are actual moons of Tython where people have... left Tython, like the non-force users leave Tython and they go and they populate these moons. But that's where they come up with the process of, or not the process, but the idea of the light and the dark side and the Ashland and Bogan. I want more of that stuff brought to canon because we don't get nearly enough of it.
No, I okay.
And that's yeah, that kind you know of what, like,
you're right. I do like that stuff too. And I kind of wish that we could see a little bit more of the
You get a little bit of it with the Mortis storyline and a little bit of it within Rebels.
Rebels, yeah.
But that's about it.
The one in the middle. Yeah.
So that's what I've got.
Okay.
All right. Episodes 10 and 11 of The Bad Batch, which has been just an awesome series. I love that I'm going through it and watching it all again because it has really been a surprise. I mean, it was announced and we were kind of all like, is that the one you want to go with?
Yeah.
Why not just do a season 8?
Yeah, but extend the Clone Wars.
Yeah, they've like you don't need to call it Clone Wars. You can do season 8 or you can start a season 8 as Clone Wars and then transition into the Empire and just call it the Empire or whatever and storylines from the Empire, which I think would be cool. Common Ground is episode 10. It starts as an Imperial agent caters to the crowd on Raxus Secundus, which we've actually been to before. It's the capital of the Separatist systems. What's his face? The kid Ahsoka.
Ahsoka's squeeze.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I forget.
I know who you're talking about with blue hair.
Yeah. Yeah. They're there. And the Empire is basically there to facilitate peace and love, they say. Peace and love. And
if you don't like our peace and love, we'll kill you.
Yeah. I'm not big fans. I like how, but the best part is I love this transition from the Clone Wars era because they bring in the tanks.
Yeah.
And it's Clone Wars tanks.
Yeah.
Right. We recognize those. We don't see those for very much longer. And I thought that was cool. Senator Avi Singh, which is just not the Star Wars name you thought it would be. He begins to appeal to the crowd for the Empire and then stops and then tells them it's his duty to look out for the best interests of his citizens and that the Imperial blockade is not in their best interest. Of course, he gets arrested by the clone troopers and taken away, but not before he tells his personal droid to follow his orders to a T. Mm-hmm. I believe is what he says.
I believe it is, yes.
On Pantora, the Batch hit up SIDS, and she comes to them with an extraction mission to get Sing out of Raxus, conveniently. Interesting. This doesn't set well with the Batch, as they never imagined themselves working for Separatists. And we're in a different world now, a different era, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's no longer Republic and Separatist. It's the Empire.
Yep. And it's really cool. Like,
I like this.
I love the way they're taking over here.
Yeah.
Because they're sitting here and they're like, oh, yeah, look, we're for friends. Friends are good, aren't we? Such great friends. And then they're basically like whispering to the leader, okay, you better, you know, get your people in line here or else, you know, you're in big trouble. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, yeah. And sure enough, he's like, nope.
Arrested.
Incites a bit of a riot. You know, they rally all the troops. And
they quell it real quick.
They bring in all that stuff. It's like, oh yeah, no, this is actually what it's going to be like under the Emperor. Yeah,
here you go. If you don't do it our way right away, look out.
Yeah.
They agree to do it on the condition that Omega stays with Sid. Mm-hmm. Omega is not impressed, but she relents. The Bad Batch arrive and are confronted with two ships requesting clearance. They provide that clearance, which came from the Separatist client. They're concerned that this is going to be a trap, and it makes sense for them to think that because they are Republic, mm-hmm. right? Like the Republic troops. At Sid's, Omega is upset and mopey, and Sid tells her that if she wasn't so useless, she would be with the boys. And Omega disagrees about herself being useless, and we find out how coming up in a bit. The Bad Batch meet up with the client. It's the Senator's droid, GX-8. They ask to get right to work, which the droid likes, which is kind of funny. They work their way into the Senator's private compound, and they knock out Imperial clones, which we're going to call them because that's what they are. These are still clone troopers here. Mm-hmm. Back at Sid's, Sid is playing Djarik, which is the game that
Star Wars R2, chess, monster chess,
R2 and 3PO were playing with Chewie in A New Hope. She's playing against, Sid is playing against Bolo and Ketch. That's the Ithorian and the Wiki, or Wika, Kwe, whatever, however you pronounce it. They're tied in the game when Sid makes a move that Omega says, she wouldn't do that. It costs Sid. And then Sid's like, well, fine, what would you do? And Omega comes down and wins the game for her.
Yeah.
Sid immediately likes that, asks how she knew how to play, and Omega says it's a strategy game. She's good at strategy. And I love this exchange between Sid and Omega.
Mm-hmm.
She asks if she's good enough to play for money, and Omega negotiates her cut.
Yeah, I love it. Like, you can see Omega really grow, though, in this
big scene. Time.
Like,
yeah.
Like, in these scenes, like, it's awesome because, you know, you're not really sure, like, what.
What's
like
the end game?
Maybe Sid's right. You know, like, she is kind of a liability with the Bad Batch, but she's also proven that she can hold her own sometimes too. So it's like, yeah. And I had a problem too with this because Omega is a little bit of a Mary Sue.
A little
you know
bit.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm starting to kind of get that impression as we're watching more and more because she's always.
I don't think Mary Sue's the right word. I think she's super resourceful.
She is. And it's kind of fair that she's a Mary Sue because she is the culmination of the genetic program, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, look at Boba Fett.
If anybody's going to be that. Yeah.
Boba Fett is a really good bounty hunter in his teenage years.
Yeah.
Right. And so.
But Boba Fett fails and struggles a lot.
Yeah, he does. But so does she. She has failed.
A little bit.
It's not as drastic as what happens. Like, people's lives aren't lost or anything like that. But, like, you see her struggle with the bow. She's got to practice with it in order to get stronger. We see her, like, when she's... Wrecker is testing her to dismantle the bomb, and she struggles with that. Like, there are parts there where she does struggle. Obviously, it's not death-defying, but still. I do get your, I do get what you're saying, though.
Yeah, she's kind of good at everything. And I mean, if she's got like the genes from the Bad Batch, yeah, that makes sense, right? She can be a good shot. She can be a good this. She can be good at that. Like, that all does kind of make sense.
And we don't know exactly what she is as a clone.
Exactly. They haven't really told us.
We're just kind of told that she's a pure clone of Django.
Yeah, and she's got that, the genes, right, that are... are needed because Django's DNA is degrading.
Yeah. At the senator's compound, the senator is refusing to be a puppet to the Empire, and Captain Bragg, who is attempting to interrogate the senator. Then the batch came out of nowhere. They save him. Tech notifies the group that their position has been compromised, and they commandeer one of the walkers in hilarious fashion. It's just Hunter and Wrecker basically jump onto this thing. They take it over. Wrecker's having a good old time. And after they get in, as they move to escape, Wrecker is tossing bodies out of the out of the walker, which I thought was so funny.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's gonna leave a mark in the morning or whatever.
Yeah. They move to escape, but are chased by more clone walkers. They take a massive hitch, which they have to repair. Tech and Echo are the ones to do that. Hunter and Wrecker fight off the imp clones. They actually stop another walker by basically commandeering that one too, super fast. But it gets blown up. Wrecker's celebrating, and it that's cut short when the walker is destroyed. The senator saves a freshly captured Echo and Tech by smashing a valuable vase that GX-8 was trying to save. And then... the senator just goes, I wasn't a big fan of that anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Jokes.
He carries it around like half the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Because right? It's such symbolic significance to the guy. And then, I'll just throw it at the stormtrooper's head.
I love it. The Bad Batch escape to a corridor where the senator tells them about an underground escape passageway. As they approach the Marauder, after they've made their way out and blow up the entrance to where they were going, the senator has second thoughts of leaving, that he has to stay on Raxus with his people. GX-8 tells him he will, but Hunter says that he has to stay alive in order to fight another day, and they leave. Back at Sid's, the bar is packed as the crew arrive. Omega has absolutely cleaned up with Djarik. After she puts her last opponent down, she runs to her family, the Bad Batch, and she's all happy to see them. Hunter's a little upset that she didn't keep a low profile, but Sid defends her by telling them that she paid off all of their debt.
Yeah. Like, how big is this sport?
I don't know how big the debt was, though. Like, the debt was enormous to the Bad
Batch.
Well,
they're flying across the universe.
But they're getting screwed,
risking
right?
their life and limb, and they've got to do this how many times?
Well, they're taking, I feel like that's for a lot all of missions. The missions is 30%.
Yeah.
Like, Sid's like, taking all the money.
Yeah,
and they still have to pay for supplies and everything like that.
And room and board.
Yeah,
like,
very.
It's really hosing them.
Exactly, very few dollars is going towards their actual debt.
Yeah,
these are great episodes for you young kids to watch in order to understand finances. Hunter asks about the payment, and Omega tells him that's what she wanted to do in order to be useful, and so he makes a deal with her if she can beat him at Djarik. No more sitting out missions. And they hop on the table as the scene fades, and it's cute and they're all excited. And they smack talk each other.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready? And that's the end of that episode. Devil's Deal. This is a fun one because we're on Ryloth. We've seen a lot of Ryloth through the Clone Wars. Of course, the Cham Syndulla group, the Freedom Fighters, trying to fight for a free Ryloth, and the clones being there, Hauser. This is an awesome episode leading into another one. Admiral Rampart confesses disappointment in the people who do not show appreciation for the new freedom under the Empire, like you had mentioned on the previous episode. Senator Orn Freetah tries to appease the crowd, but they don't like him. Champs and Doula steps out and starts talking, and the crowd immediately takes to him. Ta dislikes this. Rampart sees it and uses it eventually in a restricted area. Choppa! Choppa and Baby Hera are staring and spying on a facility. Chopper takes in images, and Hera lays on the ground looking up at the sky, daydreaming about flying. And then two clone troopers come over top, and she calls for Chop. And then we are transported to this Nula home. Twi'leks are handing over their weapons from the Clone Wars in a show of good faith to the Empire. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting that any planet would lay down its arms fully and completely. And I'm surprised Cham is a part of this.
Well, this is before he's radicalized, right? This is what...
Well, no, he's been radicalized already, but... Like, this is him trying to accept that the Galactic Empire or the Galactic Republic, now Empire, is doing what's best for Ryloth. He's clearly daydreaming on that. His brother, Gobi, like, he tells Elena, his wife, that this isn't right and they disagree on this. Clone Captain Hauser brings Hera to Cham at their home and tells him that he can't keep overlooking her intrusion. She's got to stop. Cham tells her he won't have to do that again. Gobi and Cham argue over what the Empire is doing on Ryloth. Gobi is like, we've been defending it for this long, and you're going to turn a blind eye to clearly what is an occupation.
Yeah.
And Cham does. He absolutely does. Senator Ta is threatened by Cham. We saw that in the Clone Wars. Admiral Rampart tells him that we all have our part to play in this story. And then we see Cham talking with Hera, trying to understand her and why she's doing the things that she's doing. She says she's just trying to do her part for Ryloth, and that Gobi understands it. Why can't her father? And he tells her that, well, he fought for Ryloth for so long and continues to do so that she never has to. But we see that changes, right? And at this point, their relationship is really good. Because in Rebels, their relationship is strained.
Yeah, and I think that's because of what happens in the following episodes here.
To an extent.
Yeah.
I think, right? Like,
But yeah, I find they really do a lot of exposition here on Hera. And hadn't watched the show, like Rebels... you'd probably be really confused, like, who the heck is this and why are we really going on and on about her, you know?
Yeah. I agree with that. Rampart.
But Cham, I, as a fan, like seeing it.
I do too.
If this was my first dip into Star Wars TV series, I would be a little like, what the hell?
But I think the thing is, though, if you are going to dip into it this way, right, you're watching Rebels before you watch Bad Batch.
I hope so.
Right. Like, it's the same thing with the movies. I'm not in agreement with people that start from episode one and work their way up. I think that's a silly way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, you start at four, because even me, as someone who has watched Star Wars a ton of times, I don't want to see how Anakin becomes Darth Vader yet. I want to see Darth Vader first. And then I want to discover that, oh shit, Darth Vader is Luke and Leia's father. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there, if you watch from one all the way to nine, you're ruining, and you have to suspend.
Yeah.
Your knowledge of what's going on. You just have to take the movies for what they are. To me, that just makes more sense. But there are,
and you ruin like one of the greatest spoil like one of the greatest movies and moments in movie history with like Vader revealing that he's Luke's father, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because you watch episode three. Oh, Luke and Leia, they're born. Yeah. And then you get to episode five. You're like, yeah, I already know this.
Yeah, I know this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Even every time I watch it, and I start with episode four, and I get to five, and Luke, I am your father, I'm still like goosebumpy, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you devil, you. Like, oh, Obi-Wan, why didn't you tell him?
Yeah.
Rampart, Cham, and Elena are yakking about what the Empire is doing on Ryloth. Rampart assures them that the installation that they are at is being used to repair damage to the places most harmed during the war. Elena's like, this is obviously an occupation. Like, they are protecting mm-hmm. something here. What is it? And we actually don't even know that yet, what it is, I guess, to an extent.
Yeah.
Crosshair comes in and alerts Rampart of something, and they leave, and Rampart just kind of sits there and goes, you guys can show yourself out. Cham tries to ease Elena's mind, but she isn't convinced at all. And he says, that sounds like Gobby talking. Gobby.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, no, it's not. It's me seeing that they're hiding stuff from us. Why would they hide stuff if we're supposed to trust them? Yeah. Hera talks with Gobi about not being able to go on the next mission with him. Gobi completely manipulates her into coming by using her love of flying. Kind of dirty pool. He is Cham has every right to be mad at him. That's his daughter. Mm-hmm. And you're putting her into all these compromised situations. Crosshair plants a tracking beacon on their ship. This confuses me a lot, because here they take off and they're in their ship and that Crosshair is there.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't he know that their ship, where their base is there?
I don't know.
Like, wouldn't you assume it? Like, why is he just hiding on a cliff somewhere, shooting a homing beacon onto their ship out of nowhere?
I don't know.
So he's got to know where their compound is. And then later on in the show, we'll get to it. She's at that compound and they haven't found her. Like, what? So I don't know if that was just missed or I'm missing something. But anyway, Hera gets to fly a little bit. She doesn't get to land. They arrive, which is funny. They arrive at a moon to meet up with the Bad Batch. Hera asks what they're doing there. And Gobby tells her, well, they're here to pick up weapons. She asks, didn't they just give their weapons away? And he says, not for long. And then they pick up stuff. But Omega sees Hera. Hera sees Omega. And they're like, ooh, somebody young, friendship. I love it. Omega asks if it's okay to bring her on. Hunter says, sure, why not? And then, hilariously, Omega is like almost interrogating Hera. Like, you're not going to try any funny business, are you?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be watching you in her cute way of how she talks.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the Marauder and Omega shows her around. They surprise each other with how they think. On the way back to Ryloth, Gobby's ship is tracked and then shot down by Crosshair. The imps move in. They surround the ship. Ta implicates the three for treason and then tries to tie it to Cham, but Rampart understands the greater game at play here. Hauser is totally against arresting Hera, but he does follow orders. Chopper brings new intel to Cham, who acts immediately to save Hera. The empirical group, I guess, is going through the ridge there, and Cham's people trap the convoy holding Hera. They save her. Senator Ta accuses them again of treason, but Cham fires back by saying that he has watched Ta for years feed his greed at the expense of the people of Ryloth. Hauser tells Cham to think about what he's doing here. Hauser, you can see, is conflicted big time.
Mm-hmm.
Even Eleni? I forget. Yeah, she stops Cham from shooting him. He lowers his weapon, and Rampart thanks Ta for playing his part and nods. Crosshair shoots Ta from a distance in front of all of them, injuring him. At first, I was like, he's dead. But apparently, he's not. Chopper escapes with Hera, and the group is arrested by clones and the elite squad. Hauser is ordered to find Hera, but you can see that he is clearly conflicted by it. And that brings us to the end of episode. Is that the second episode already? Holy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Flew through that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this episode's great if you liked Rebels. And it's like there's too much Hera and Ryloth stuff. If you are just watching the show for the first time,
this show easily feels a lot more filler than the other ones.
Yeah.
And I understand that filler. I do. Because they're establishing the Empire with these occupations on planets, and they're taking us back to places that we know, which I'm okay with. I do. I would like to see maybe a new place. Like, it'd be cool to see the empirical occupation on Sereno, which is Dooku's home planet. Right. And it's a separatist stronghold. So yeah, let's see the empire there. Because you would think Palpatine would be like, go to Sereno. You got to catch that place. There's a lot of wealth to be had there. So interesting stuff that's going on. Next week, we'll get into the second part of the Ryloth story. And it's a good one too. I like the use of Hera's mom in these two episodes. Like, she's just not a standard buyer. Which is good.
You can see, like, Hera gets some of her stuff from.
At this point in Hera's development, she still speaks French. Or has the French accent, right? She isn't how we know her to be in Rebels.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, and I like too, like, you know, they introduce Hera to the Bad Batch. So Hera, they're obviously on her radar. So they can bring, you know, them in at some point somehow in the future. And like, I could easily see them going for like some kind of Hera Omega team up in the future. Oh,
big time.
And like, I almost think it would be interesting. I had this thought while I was watching this episode for some reason, like, if they really wanted to like add some significance, like, what if Omega, like, Omega's almost Leia's age too, right? So really,
she'd be a little older.
She'd be like, what, 5 years older,
something like that.
So it would be kind of interesting, like, if Omega gets hooked up through Hera to the rebellion and becomes something that, you know, could be a future thing for Leia. Like, imagine, like, if she turned out to be, you know, Admiral Holden, right?
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like something like that, on that kind of level.
Like Holdo. Because Omega, from...
Holdo, yeah, the one who pulls the Holdo maneuver and goes through Snoke's...
Severus Snape's ship.
And, I don't know why I thought that would be a pretty cool twist, because Omega's just Omega, right? She still doesn't have a name.
Right.
And we'd imagine as...
Omega's like, not going
to
be...
she lives to be 70 years old or 80 years old or whatever, she would get a name that was a little more...
Well, Boba intense. Fett, right?
Yeah. So I thought it would be cool if they had a little twist where Omega is just suddenly somebody we've seen in the sequel trilogy that's close to Leia, even. Would be kind of cool.
That would be cool. I agree.
Yeah.
Plot twist.
Yeah. Give a lot of weight, extra weight to like Holdo dying. Like, really understand the sacrifice.
Big time.
It makes sense. It makes sense that she's force sensitive and she can actually guide that ship into doing the one in a million shot, you know? And
yeah.
I thought that would be kind of cool. I don't know. Just a random thought I had. Maybe a what if series.
That is a good idea too, because Holdo to me was the most useless character. Like, it would have made way more sense for Ackbar to do something like that. She comes in there and all they do is they reference that her and Leia clearly know each other and they've been friends for a long time, but that's it.
Yeah.
And then the point where
like Holdo is even like counseling Leia on, you know, how to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everybody's super secretive of everything. Nobody's saying anything to the rest of it. Like, it's just silly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that'd be a good idea if they did something like that. And then there you go. Now we know who Omega is. It's Holdo. No, it's not.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It would be. But there you go. That is our review of Rebels. No, of Bad Batch episodes 10 and 11. Next week we'll do 12 and 13, and we'll come up with another top five that we want to talk about. And hopefully we get a little bit more news. I know I'll be closer to finishing Visions.
Yeah, we should.
I guess there is something that we should mention as far as news goes.
Yeah.
There is like Halloween Star Wars on Disney Plus right now.
Okay.
I think it's like Lego Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one second as I log into my Disney Plus account, because I forget what it's called. Terrifying Tales.
Terrifying
title. it's Disney Plus stories. It's only one. It's like
basically just 46 minutes long. And okay. Poe and BB-8 are told terrifying tales as they search for help in Darth Vader's creepy old castle.
Oh, cool.
So something interesting there.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Palpatine's there. He's got an axe. BB-8 looks like a pumpkin. Darth Maul is there. Kylo's there. We'll have to check it out. We'll have to check that out. I like Star Wars stuff. There is something interesting on Disney Plus now. It's called, like, they, you know how they had dropped some of those like vehicle fly-throughs?
Mm-hmm.
There was like planetary stuff, like going through. I think it was just like random kind of things that you can check out
mm-hmm.
through the Star Wars stories. They have a Galaxy of Sounds now, and this is like basically immerses the audiences in the nostalgic ambience of a galaxy far, far away. I gotta check that out. You've got Wonder, which looks like Naboo, Excitement. They're all super short. They're like 7-8 minutes long.
Okay.
Excitement is enough. Pod racing. Yeah, just short little blips where you can just kind of listen to stuff. Mm-hmm. Dark Side, Light Side, Beeps, Connections, Oddities, all sorts of cool things.
Okay.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all I got for this episode of Pod Racers. Yeah. Matt, you got anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Well, then we'll leave it at that. Yeah, next week we'll come up with our top five. And if you guys have any suggestions or anything like that that you want us to talk about here on Pod Racers, throw it at us at Pod Racers or Pod_Racers. That's on Twitter. And you can also find me at DSO67. Matt, where are you on social media, if you still are at all?
I am still there somewhere. You can find me at Kehoh, Kehoh, on Twitter.
There you go.
And that's about the extent of my social media.
Which is probably...
And even then, I don't go on very often.
So. Not a horrible idea. But that'll do it for us. What would Alan say to take us out of here on Pod Racers?
He would say, stay safe and watch Star Wars.
Absolutely. We'll be back next week right here on Pod Racers, Star Wars podcast. See you, Matt.
See ya.